Proverbs 1, verse number 7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's a pretty simple verse of scripture. He just tells us if we want to have true knowledge, there must be the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
You agree with that?
Amen.
That's what God says. Must have the fear of the Lord if you want true knowledge.
Right.
And then in chapter 9, in verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You notice here, once again, he says, if you desire wisdom, you must have the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of it. And he goes on and says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, the knowledge of God. We cannot have knowledge of God or wisdom of God without the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. That makes sense, don't it? That's just what God says. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your precious, precious Bible. Thank you for Jesus. How good you are to us, Lord. Thank you for the salvation you provided for us. And we old unworthy folk, Lord, we wasn't worthy, but you loved us anyway. And I just want to thank you and praise you for it. And once again, thank you. I need you tonight. I ask you to help me and empower me and use me, Father, to do that which you've appointed me to do. And we'll sure give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a boy, there was times when I was afraid. Don't know whether you ever been there or not, but we lived out in the country, out about a mile from Fillmore, Indiana, and right out in front of our house, probably about as close as from here to the foyer in front of our house, ran the Pennsylvania Railroad. It run east and west, and our house faced to the south, and right on the other side of the Pennsylvania Railroad was a road that run parallel with the railroad and run right into the town of Fillmore. And as a boy, I either rode my bicycle or walked those roads many, many, many times. We didn't have any other transportation, and that's the way we got there. And many times I would walk the railroad track. And sometimes of a night, like coming home from ball practice or something like that, I'd usually come down the road, and my mind would go and get to thinking about those hobos that walked the railroad track also. We called them railroad bums. I'm sorry, that's what we called them when I was a boy. Hobos. They'd walk the railroad and they'd stop and get things to eat. I've seen my mother feed them many times. Now, she never would go to the door if we boys wasn't there. But if we boys was there, then she'd go to the door. She'd go get them something to eat. My mother had a heart to do that. And they wanted something to eat, and she'd get them something to eat, and they'd go on. But my mind would get to thinking like maybe someone was bedding down out there somewhere. And I'd be walking that road or that railroad track, and I would kind of speed up pretty good after a bit and try to get home as quick as I could, you know. Things will go through your mind. We had the Smith brothers lived up right as you go up that road and into Fillmore, and sometimes we had a hate-love relationship between the boys, and there was three boys and three boys with us, and sometimes they was always threatening. Herschel was around my age. He was a year older than me, and Herschel Smith, and he always, sometimes he I don't know what got into him, but you know, he must have been a bully or something. It wasn't any of my fault, folks. I mean, but anyway, he'd threatened to shove me off of my bicycle, you know, and so I'd stop out the gravel road there as I come into town, get me a big rock. I'd get a rock like that, and pretty good sized one, and I'd just ride up through there. And most of the time, he wasn't even out there. But if he was, if he came out to the road, I said, "Herschel, you come out here toward me, and you're going to get this rock right in the head." And it usually took care of the situation pretty good. He didn't want that to happen. But, you know, times like that, you know, you might get a little scared. I stayed in, we camped out, we boys camped out in the woods a lot. Sometimes we had a tent, sometimes we didn't. Usually I didn't camp out by myself, but We'd go out there, the three or four of us boys, and we'd camp out. And sometimes, you know, you'd hear all those noises out in the woods. You know, you hear all them animals and stuff going around, and be a little bit scary out there. But of course, I never act like it. I was scared around those other guys, but inside I was a little bit weary. You know, I'll tell you a little story. Archie Strong and Larry Cox and me, we used to run around a lot. And we was up at Fillmore one night, was on our bicycles, and Archie's bicycle was broke down. And so he was riding on my handlebars. He'd hop up on the handlebars and ride, and sometime then he'd get on Larry's bicycle and ride. And so getting kind of dark, and we decided to go down to the cemetery. And there was a long lane to the Fillmore Cemetery. You had to drive a good little ways. We decided to go back there. And so we went back there, and Larry and I kind of had it fixed up that one of us, and I cannot remember who got it, but someone else got a stick, and we went on the way and kind of hid it and got back there and got to talking. It started getting dark and everything. And so whoever it was had the stick, I can't remember, threw that stick. And we all turned around real quick, like, you know, what was that? And Larry and I said, let's get out of here. And then we jumped on our bicycles and took off. And, of course, Archie didn't have a bicycle, but he really didn't need one, because halfway down the lane, he passed us up. That's God's truth. Archie passed us up. And we got down at the end of Fillmore Lane there, that cemetery lane, and we was all laughing, carrying on, except Archie. But anyway, we was laughing, carrying on. And I said, well, you know, I think it's about time we got home. And Archie said, I can't. And I said, well, why not? And he said, because I lost my shoe halfway down the way there. And I got to go back and get it. So he wouldn't let us get on our bicycles, but we all walked back there and got his shoe and decided, we laughed and carried on, went home, you know, after that. But there's been times when I've been afraid. And more than likely, most of the time that I ever was afraid, I probably didn't have any reason to be, more than likely. But there's something that God tells us in his word, a kind of a fear that we ought to have. And that's the fear of God. And I'm convinced, I'm not saying how we correct it all, but I'm convinced we're just too blasé with God. We don't really consider who he really is. And I think there's a fear of God, and you know, used to, people would say, well, that's reverential fear, and I have a little problem with that. I think it goes deeper than that. I certainly think we should, be reverent toward God, but I think there should be a certain amount of fear of God. Not trusting, I don't mean not trusting him, but knowing who he is, and knowing that he is all powerful, and he can do anything he wishes to do. And when his word is broken, that's serious business. And yet I know he loves me with a love that I can't even explain. I understand that. But yet I believe he wants us to have a certain amount of fear of him. And the Bible teaches that the fear of God is the only way you're really going to get to know God. The knowledge of God is to have fear of God. And to have fear of God is the only way you're going to be able to take that knowledge and use it with wisdom. Because you can't have wisdom without the fear of God. And I don't mean, and I hope I'm not displaying this, that I think we ought to sit around in fear of God all the time and worrying about what God's going to do, and is he going to strike us with lightning? And I'm not talking about that kind of fear. But I do believe we should honor God with reverence and fear, believing and knowing that God Almighty is almighty, and his word is all true, and that he expects us to honor his word and to love his word and respect him for who he is. I just think sometimes we're just too blasé with God. And so I get to thinking about this, and I think the fear of God is a very personal thing. I think it's something that each one of us has to come to and really realize, because in one portion of Scripture it talks about teaching them to fear God. I think there's we have to be taught to fear God. And anyway, over in Genesis, I want to take you to a little story over in the Genesis, the 28th chapter, to kind of set the stage here. 28th chapter of Genesis. Let me see. It's in verse number 5, it says, "And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah's, Jacob's, and Esau's mother." Now, he was sent away from home to go here to this uncle of his. And then over verse 11, "And he lighted upon a certain place." He's on his way, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up to earth, and to the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." And he goes on and he talks about this, but then after Jacob had seen this vision, his dream, he says in verse 16, "And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And listen to what it says. He said he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." When Jacob saw and dreamed this dream, he saw angels descending on this ladder and God standing at the top of the ladder and speaking to him. And he, when he awoke from that dream, he said, "God is in this place, and I knew it not." And he said, "I was afraid." Now, that was quite, and there's so much in that that we could talk about, but I don't wish to do that tonight. But he met God that day, and God spoke to him, and his reaction was not so much of reverence, but of fear because of God. And then I want to take you over to the 35th chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to say, and I may have this a little wrong, but somewhere probably between 25 or 30 years later, Jacob had been gone. God returns to Jacob and says this to him in chapter 35. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." God said, "I want you to go back to Bethel." That, in fact, I never told you that, but back where he had saw God, he called the name of that place Bethel. He changed the name of it from Luz to Bethel, which means the house of God. The house of God. And it was a place very special for Jacob. Now God comes along 25, 30 years later, and he says, "I want you to go back to Bethel." And all at once in Jacob's mind, he realized that's where he met God. And I want to show you the next verse, what he did. Here's what he said. "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments." If you notice here, Jacob, at the thought of going back to Bethel, he recognized, I'm going to go back where God is. That's where I met God. And listen, what we better do, Jacob says, we better put away any strange gods. Now, you got to remember, his wife Rachel had brought strange gods because they were her father's. And she hid them, remember, in the tent and all of that. And so he said, get rid of all the false gods. Be clean and change your garments. He said, why? Because we're going back to where God is. And then his thoughts, that's what Jacob thought of. Just the thought of going back to Bethel. It said, man, we better get cleaned up. We better straighten up. And I'm thinking, Jacob talks about just going back to Bethel, and that's what he begins and thinks about. And I think about it, that God lives in us all the time. He lives inside of us. God the Holy Spirit does. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what the difference is, because the Holy Spirit of God did not come and live within them in those days. But just the thought of going back where he met God caused him to say, I better clean my life up. We better get ready. We better change our garments. We better get ready to meet God. And I'm thinking about, why is it that just the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in us doesn't do that to us? You understand what I'm saying? The fear of the Lord comes through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to explain that, but let's just go over to Isaiah 11. I'm going to look at some scripture, Isaiah 11. And verse number 1, Isaiah 11, verse 1, here's what he says. And there came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, this is talking about Jesus. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit of God inside us puts the fear of God in us, the right and proper kind of fear of God. And over again, let's just go ahead and look at Jeremiah real quick and get that verse of scripture. But in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, let's look at verse number 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I just believe by reading the scripture that the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and puts within us, as he did Israel here, the fear of the Lord. It's just a natural thing that comes when you know Christ. And when you know Christ, you do have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You see, without the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us, there's no way that we can have a true knowledge of God. Nor can we have the true wisdom of God. Because it has to be the fear of God, because it is the beginning of knowledge and it is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is that I feel like, I don't know what's in your hearts, but what I see too many times in Christianity, I see that the Holy Spirit, they claim the Holy Spirit is in them. And if they're saved, he is. That's true. And yet I see such a lax attitude about godly living. And when I say I have trouble with that, I know who the Holy Spirit of God is and I know what he does. I remember Jack Van Impe, years ago, I heard him say this. He said, I had been saved only for a few days, and he said that and his parents were connected some way with the theaters. And he spent a lot of time in theaters. And he said, I've been saved only a few days. And I went to the theater and I sat there. And he said, just as sure as I'm standing here telling you this, the Holy Spirit of God said, this is not a good place for you to be. And he said, I got up and left. He said, I'd only been saved a few days. Now, what I'm saying to you is, when the Holy Spirit of God comes into us, he begins to guide our lives and direct our lives and convict us of sin. Now, is that not true? The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And I question sometimes why people who claim to be Christ, and I'm not saying they're not, but has no problem or no conviction whatsoever about ungodly living. I really question that, and I really wonder why. We went to your graduation, Jesse, and you did a wonderful job on that speech you gave. You uplifted and honored the Lord Jesus Christ, and that young man that prayed did the same thing. He prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, and I was thankful for it and grateful for it. But you have some of the most worldly young ladies over there I've ever seen in my life. And you can't help that. I'm telling you the truth. Donna and I both were shocked. We live too much around church. We're around God's people. And I don't live too much around church, but we don't get out like that. We got out like that, and I've never seen such ungodly dress in my life. Oh, my, wicked, wicked, wicked. And I can look at that person. No, I can tell them. You say, Brother Rush, you don't know whether they're saved or not. Oh, yes, I do. A person who was saved would not dress like that. Holy Spirit of God wouldn't let them do that. Holy Spirit of God will not put a stamp of okay on nakedness. He will not do it. No. He will not do it. You say, well, don't. Yes. No, the Holy Spirit. Are you telling me that the Holy Spirit of God would okay and put his stamp of approval on nakedness? Can you tell me the Holy Spirit of God would do that? No way. No way. And so you see, the Word of God tells us to be modest. And ladies, many of you ladies, I just want to say thank you. No, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You walk into this church and you see ladies dressed properly and modestly. And I know your pastor is thankful and grateful for that, and I know I am. I'm so thankful and grateful that you feel that way and dress that way and honor God. You see, because that honor, and I'll tell you why you do that, because the Holy Spirit in God inside you prompts you and leads you and guides you to do that. I believe that with all my heart. And I certainly want to say thank you for that. I went to the bank the other day over where I bank there in Duggar. And I went in, and there's three tellers there. And the first one said, Mr. Ross, can I help you? And I said, well, sure. And I walked up, and here this young lady had terrible, terrible low cut. Terrible. And so I looked above her head all the time I was dealing with her. And then I said to myself afterwards, I said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to go to another teller. If I had to go to her, I'm going to tell her she needs to get some clothes on. I don't have to sit and look at that. That's wickedness. What you see out in this world, and I should have done it then, but I didn't. I was kind of taken back, and I should have, but I'll never go to her again. Never, never, never. I'm not going to sit and look at nakedness. I'm not going to do that. You understand? And I realize she needs saved. No, I realize that. She needs saved. She don't have the Holy Spirit of God in her, or she would worry about nakedness. Yes, she would. Oh, you say, Brother Rock, don't. Oh, yes, it does make a difference. You see, here's the thing. Too many people, and I'm afraid that too often people want to claim salvation, and if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and yet live and dress just like the world does. There's something basically wrong. Now, here's what I think. I know the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit can be grieved. I understand that. He can be quenched. I understand that. But when that happens, I want to tell you what God does. God chastises. And he rebukes. And then he gets his whip out and he scourges. Yes, he does. If you're a child of God, that's what it says in Hebrews 12th chapter. God don't let us live ungodly and get by with it. I can tell you, over the years, and I think any Christian in here that's lived a Christian life a while would say the same thing. How many times the Holy Spirit of God has got after me about things?
That's true. Amen.
That's what he's supposed to do, and that's what he does.
Amen.
And I'm saying, what worries me is this. Maybe it isn't because they are quenched or grieved, it may be because the Holy Spirit of God is not there. Because the Holy Spirit of God will convict of sin. And if you're not convicted of things that are wrong and improper, then there's something wrong. You either do have him grieved or quenched, and if that be true, you're going to get a swipping.
Right. Right.
Or it may be that the Holy Spirit of God has never went into you because you're not saved.
Right.
You better think about it.
Amen.
Better think about it well, because I know what the Holy Spirit of God does, and he does his job. He convicts of sin.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Amen.
And I question how people can do this. They can come in and they can hear the preaching. Our preacher preaches to us the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, he does. You know he does. He preaches the Word of God to us. How can a person sit and hear that preached and not have conviction if the Holy Spirit is in them? Because the Holy Spirit will do his job. He will convict of sin. And so I question, how can people sit and live like they live, dress like they dress, and never be convicted? It don't work that way. Amen. Let me tell you something. I've seen this to way back. When was that? In the 60s when they had these mini skirt deals? Was that in the 60s? I can't remember. It's been off and on all the time. I remember that all about that. And you know, the ladies of the church, they never changed the height. And if they did, I really worried about them. Because let me tell you what you do, ladies. You show exactly what you want to show. If you want to have something low, it's because that's what you want people to see. And if you want something short, you want somebody to see your legs and your thighs. No, that's what you want, or you wouldn't dress that way. You wouldn't dress with real skin-tight clothing if you didn't want people to see your shape of your body. No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God would not allow you to do that without getting all over you. So I'm just saying to you, the fear of God ought to cause you to want to dress right. Fear of God ought to do that, because the Holy Spirit of God is what brings and shows and teaches us the fear of God. so that we can know the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, you see. And I'm just saying to you, folks, I know I've been saved since 1966, and God has had a time with me. He's worked with me and worked with me and worked with me, but I want to tell you, He has convicted me over and over and over, and He doesn't just do me that way. He does every child of God that way. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when we first got saved, I usually say we'd like dumb as a box of rocks. We didn't know anything about Christianity. We didn't know anything about the Bible. We began to learn, and we'd find something out, and we'd say, oh, my goodness. Well, God said we oughtn't be doing that. We had friends that finally just quit being friends with us because they weren't saved, and we began to act like and do like we were saved and began to do things that we didn't used to do and not do things, I mean, that we used to do. You just begin to change. And I really, honestly, I have a problem when a person just wants to remain the same and say he's saved. Now, understand, it takes time. Oh, my goodness, God's been long-suffering and gracious to this preacher. And it does take time, but, folks, you don't fight it. You don't condemn what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Will you just listen? Will you just maybe consider that maybe if you're not convicted, maybe you just don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you? Because His work is to convict of sin. Amen? Sure. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 28. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You've got to understand who God is. He's a consuming fire. And the Bible says it takes grace to serve God with reverence and godly fear. It takes the grace of God to do that. We need grace to serve God because He is a consuming fire. He's not someone just to fool around with. He's not a toy that we can toy with. He's God Almighty. He's the mighty creator of all things. He's your creator. And His word is true, and what He says He expects us to do and follow it. Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse number 30 and 31. For we know Him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God said it's a fearful thing to fall into His hands. It's something we better be careful about. We better realize we ought to have some fear of God and His word. I want to turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 33. Chapter 33 of Psalms. I want you to just listen as I read. I want you to listen who God is. It said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's God. He spake, and the world came into existence. Creation just spoke. He didn't have to go get pieces to make it out of. He just spoke, and there it is. And so he says, let all the earth fear the Lord. It's right for us to fear God. And when we won't pay any attention to his word, that's not fear of God.
Yeah, that's right.
That is mocking God.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
God expects us to listen. Listen to our preacher as he preaches the word of God and teaches us. And every one of us should listen very closely and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to us. Do you understand that? The other day, I know Jerry mentioned, Pastor Jerry mentioned, excuse me, Pastor. He mentioned it, but that night after he preached a sermon on the tongues and unknown tongues. I want to tell you that was a wonderful sermon. No, it was a wonderful sermon because he took chapter 14 and just explained it so wonderfully and laid it out. And I sat over there and I said to myself, I said, God, there ought to be a hearty amen to that sermon. No, that's just what I said. And he said, then give it. I never stand up and say anything, do I? Never. But that night, I knew the Holy Spirit of God wanted me to stand and say what I said. I thanked our pastor for that message because that is a subject that is so important for the church to understand. And he done a good job of laying it out for us to understand. And I just said, Lord, it needs a good hearty amen. And God said, then give it. And I did. And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Now that's the way the Holy Spirit guides. Now let me tell you what he wouldn't have done. He would have never, never prompted me to get up and say anything contrary to our preacher. He would have never done. See, that don't come from God. Oh, I know. You'd say, well, if he was teaching against the virgin birth, but you think he's ever going to do that? Huh? Anybody? No. He believes the Bible, the word of God. See, he wouldn't have ever prompted me to get up and to ridicule. Never. See, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will teach us and train us if we'll listen to him, if he is in us. See, over in Philippians, the second chapter, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we know, according to the scripture and the content of that scripture, he's not talking about you have to work for your salvation. We know better than that. You don't work for salvation. But it's to work it out with fear and trembling. You're saved now. You're a child of God. You better live right. You better do right. You better stay close to God. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that helps us and teaches us and trains us and convicts us. If there's no conviction, I myself would be worried. I would be worried. I'm just going to show you Isaiah. I'm not going to turn there. Isaiah said in the beginning of the sixth chapter that he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. A few verses later, you know what he was saying? I think I'm going to die. I saw the King. I saw God. I thought I was going to die. you get into the presence of God, you better mark it down. That's serious business.
That's good.
Amen. And folks, listen, we are in the presence of God. He lives in us.
Amen.
Just want to show you one other verse of scripture. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He said the best thing for every one of us to do is we better fear God and we better keep his commandments.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God will use the Word of God to convict us when we get off base. That's why I need to be in church every time the doors are open. I need to read my Bible at home. I need to let the Holy Spirit of God just deal with me as I read the Word of God. Because I want to keep the commandments of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm just simply saying to you, you can say all day if you want to, well, maybe I've got the Holy Spirit grieved, maybe I've quenched him a little bit, but you better be careful. Because if you have, I'll guarantee you one thing, you're going to be whipped. You're going to be chastised. According to Hebrews, you'll be chastised, you'll be rebuked, and then he'll get the whip out. He scourges. And you know what I say? Thank God he does. Thank God he does. But if you're not seeing any of that, you better be careful. Because the Holy Spirit of God does do his work. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit of God that lives within us and teaches us the precious fear of God. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.